Wow, I think we'll have some more vegetarians next week. That's awesome. No hand turkeys were harmed in the making of this series. We've been using the humble hand turkey to help us because there's a reasoning behind it besides that we're the dumbest church in America and that was fun. But we can't change the hand that we are dealt in life. And last week we used the example of Meghan Markle, who became Duchess Meghan of Suffolk, or I don't remember. I'm not good with that. My royalty is off. But even a beautiful actress who marries the prince and becomes royalty and has a royal baby finds, as we saw in the interview last week, that she's not so happy. And so what hope is there for the rest of us who aren't, you know, marrying princesses or princes and who maybe all of our dreams aren't coming true, but the thing that is true of all of us is even though we can't change the hand we're dealt, you know, like we don't decide where we're born and we don't decide our parents and we don't decide, you know, our health or so many things in life. But what if we could change, and I know like it sounds sort of funny, but what if we could change the other hand? Because we all have the other hand. We all have what we're born with, you know, sort of like our place in life, and that just sort of feels like, and even though I think God is in control, it at least feels like for most of us that just happens to us. But then there's another layer to that like we go on in life and maybe, and I hope this happens for all of us, we sort of our dreams come true or we reach that goal and we get that job or we get married or we become a parent and all of these milestone events happen and we go, finally, we're going to be happy. And then it seems like there's always the other hand. We go, God, I finally got that job I wanted. On the other hand, whew, these hours are really difficult. Or, oh, man, I dreamed all my life of my perfect wedding, and now I'm married, you know? And on the other hand, whew, that, you know, are like, oh, we tried for years to have a child, and now we have a child on the other hand. And so there's all of those things, and it's just the way life is. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting, at least to me, and I hope to you, is the fact that scripture and science actually agree on sort of the answer for this problem that we all have, our other hand problem. Here's what scripture says, and then I want to read to you a little bit what science says, and I'm finding more and more information where they agree, and it's just so interesting to think. What scripture says, what Jesus said, what, you know, the Bible says is be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And you might go, oh, well, you know, that's Bible talk, or that's thousands of years old, or that's a bumper sticker. But here's the thing. Like, studies are finally showing, and I found new studies from Harvard Medical School. This isn't like, you know, some medical school you've never heard of in Jamaica, Queens, or something, or Jamaica. Who knows? Like, it's a Harvard Medical School is doing all these studies and finding that gratitude is so powerful. And Berkeley has a whole sort of like school within a school where they're studying the power of gratitude on health, on, you know, relationships, on well-being, happiness. You know, it's just interesting, all the benefits, and you can see some of them on the screen. And the way I like to say it is, like, if we can live grateful lives, and it's difficult, but if we could live grateful lives, we enjoy life more and people enjoy being around us more. You know, it's just grateful people are great to be around. I know that's a different spelling, but are great to be around. And I never even thought about, as I was thinking about this, like all of the health benefits. They did studies, Harvard Medical School was doing studies with people who had surgery, and it was interesting because just the difference between how they looked at their surgery, like if they were grateful, like, whew, I'm glad I made it through that, or I'm glad they found the disease when they did, or I'm glad that, you know, I'm alive another day, versus the people were like, oh, I can't believe that I was going along fine, and then I have this illness that caused me to have a surgery. And they found a difference even in recovery rates just for the difference in attitude, which shouldn't make a difference at all. But, of course, we know that it does. Now, here's the thing about it, and here's why we're going to talk about it all month, is that this being thankful in all circumstances that the Bible talks about is not as easy as it sounds, and we all know that. Like, you know, we can be thankful in some circumstances. All of us can do that. But grateful living is being thankful in all circumstances. And it's kind of like, I think it's a skill that you have to build. It's like, you know, learning to be a kickboxer or a really good golfer or something like that. It's not something you're just going to pick up in an afternoon. It's something that the people that move along that path are going to have to really like make a lifestyle of it. They're going to have to spend hours, you know. And so that's, I think, the way this is. But what we're doing, and the reason why I'm so excited that the hand turkey was here with us, although I don't really want to eat a hand turkey. I've decided that. Like, it doesn't look that good. But our guest, the hand turkey, the reason why she was here, or he was here, we don't know. It's is that we can use the hand turkey, I think, to ask ourselves some questions when we feel that ungratefulness creep up. And it creeps up. It's that other hand moment. It's where, and you and I know it, like, I should be happy. I'm getting what I want, or I got what I always dreamed of, or, whew, this is what I worked for. On the other hand, this is not fulfilling in the way I thought. And that's sort of the moment when we know that we're, that, you know, ingratitude is creeping in. So I thought we could go to scripture and just kind of find some sort of quick questions that we could ask. Now, to catch you up, if you weren't here, or to remind you, and maybe you've been doing this all week, last week we talked about a simple question that is actually, I think, life-changing, is, am I hoping or am I expecting? Because Max Licato said in his latest book, he said, and I think this is so wise, he said that ingratitude, or he said that expectations are the enemy of gratitude. So, and I think that's true, like expecting a present sort of knocks the present down when you get it. You know, it's like, I like to say, and I feel like expectations sort of round down our happiness. You know, it's like, so if we're expecting a gift versus hoping for a gift, then if we expect it, like if we get it, we go, well, that's exactly what I expected. And if we don't get it, we're angry. Whereas hoping is a little different, and I know the dictionary says they're the same, but I really feel they're different from the way Scripture uses them. And so we talked last week about how hopes are sort of like expectations without an expiration date. So like if you hope that children will be fulfilling and that having children will change your life in a positive way, well, that hope can go on until they're 72 years old, and you go, finally, on my deathbed, they are making me happy. So that's a hope versus a expectation is you have that baby, and all of a sudden you don't sleep anymore, and, you know, life is turned upside down, and you go, this is not what I expected. And so in life, if we can hope more and expect less, I think we can be happier. And I think Scripture tells us we can be happier. In fact, Proverbs last week we talked about said, you know, talked about the hopes of the righteous, like the hopes of people following God give them strength. And it said the expectations of people who don't follow God, of the wicked, are their downfall. That's some old language there. So it's like, yeah, that's true. Like on one hand, a hope can keep you through some very difficult times, but man, expectations can ruin the best of times. You know, like you go into a new job and you have expectations, and then when they're not met, you're mad and you're leaving, versus if you were just hoping that this would be the job of your dreams, then that can go on for a long time. So that's what we learned last week, and so that's a question that we have. And if you notice, there's four fingers coming up. We have four questions, and none of the questions sort of work on their own, stand alone, and here's why. So here's what I thought we would do, even though I said we weren't going to harm any hand turkeys today. I think we should put the hand turkey in the octagon. And here's why. Because one thing, if you're an MMA fan or, you know, you watch UFC, one thing you realize is that when they started combining all the fighting styles, like there's grapplers and there's boxers and there's martial artists, and they all get together, and when they first started putting them in the ring, what they realized, and it's weird because it's changed everything as far as, you know, all of the different fighting styles have changed because of mixed martial arts, because they realize, like, some of this stuff doesn't work. You know, like there's things that you could do in class and like, oh, if you move your hand here, I'll move mine here and I'll block it. And it works great in class, but they would go into a mixed martial arts, a UFC fight, and they go, okay, I'm going to put my hand out. And the guy would just slug him in the face and knock him out. It's like, oh, you can do that? And so all of a sudden it's weird. Like there are actually whole branches of fighting that sort of don't exist anymore. I think Kung Fu is only used by pandas now because, you know, they realize like, oh, this doesn't work if somebody can hit me in the face. And so that's kind of, I don't want to hit our turkey in the face, but just, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying like, we should sort of put this thing in a real world situation with no rules or very few rules and see what happens. And I think what you'll find and what you may have found this week is that even though I do agree with Scripture and I think it's so wise to say, you know, hope more, expect less, there are just some things in life you should expect, right? Like you can't go through life totally and not expect anything, right? Like it's just not possible. Now, here, I'll give you an example that is, I promise you is true. If you're pregnant, you should expect a baby, right? Like Kate is pregnant, she barely looks it, but she's pregnant. And I asked her a few weeks ago, I said, do you know what you're having? And she actually told me, I'm not gonna tell you, I don't know if it's a secret or not. And I forgot. No, I didn't really forget. But it's either a boy or a girl. I do know that. But here's the thing. Like, she didn't go, I don't know. I hope an Instapot. You know, like, I've always wanted one. I hear they're great. Like, I'm really hoping for, you know, she's like, it's a baby, all right? And so there are some things that you should just expect, right? Like, you can expect things that you are owed, right? So if you sell your car on Craigslist, you know, and, you know, you can expect that someone will show up with a gun and rob you. No, that's not what you can expect. You can expect something like that, or 1,000 people call you and not show up. That's what you can actually expect. But you should expect that they come with cash to buy your car or, you know, whatever. Like, you don't go, I hope they pay me. It's not going to happen that way. And, you know, when you get your, you know, when you pay your taxes and you've overpaid, guess what? It's not the government sending you money. You are owed a refund. So when your check comes back, you don't go, oh, thank you. It's literally, you're owed that. So there are some things that we can just expect because they're owed us. And so it's difficult, and it probably doesn't work, quite honestly, if we kind of put the turkey in the mixed martial arts ring, we put it in the octagon and go, there are some situations where hoping and not expecting just aren't going to work, right? Like there's sometimes that's not true. And so we need another question. Now, I do have to tell you this, that Jesus said something that is really difficult to handle if you think about it, because Jesus said this. Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind. Notice what he says, he is unkind to the ungrateful and the evil. So, Jesus would say, if you want to be happy, and I used to think of this, he said, great is your reward. I was thinking like in heaven or something, but this is probably true on earth, right? Like this is probably true on earth, that if we weren't expecting to be repaid when we lend someone money, we would probably be happier, right? Like I can tell the story because it's been over 20 years and they've moved away. But when we first moved into our neighborhood, and it was my next door neighbor, I have two of the greatest next door neighbors. I've literally lived next to the same people for one for like 15 or 16 years and one for 21 years. It's just crazy. Like same neighbors, great people. But somebody down the street, and because I remember that I had just moved in, so I had a fairly new lawnmower, and they came and borrowed my lawnmower, which is no big deal. Super nice lady said, hey, I don't even remember why she said. She just said, can we borrow your lawnmower? And I was like, yeah, fine. And then she brought it back. And then the next week, she sent her son up. And he borrowed my lawnmower, and that was fine. And that went on a couple of weeks, I remember. And then they stopped returning it. So then I would have to go down, which is so convenient. You know, you're mowing your lawn, and you get to go and hope they're home because you need to borrow your lawnmower back because they stopped returning it. And so I would go, hey, you have my lawnmower, kind of need. And I felt weird, like I'm doing something, like I'm asking them a favor. And so I would go down and borrow my lawnmower back. And then she started saying, and I'm not exaggerating, she said, can you bring it back when you're done? That happened. And this went on all summer, and I'm not good at confrontation, so I feel bad. I, like, let it happen. And then finally, They broke the lawnmower, and I went and bought a new one. Problem solved. Now, here's the thing about it. And it's funny because they moved away not too many years after, and I found out, like, as soon as mine broke, I said, keep it, and they didn't get it fixed. They actually, like, borrowed the other neighbor's. So that was, it was weird. Nobody was too sad when they left because that's the way it works, you know? But that's a true story. But here's the deal about it. Like, knowing what I know now, and it's not in my nature. Number one, I'm bad at confrontation, and I'm not super generous. I'm just not, I struggle with that. Like, it would have been better, right? Like, I would have been happier if I would have just said, here, take my lawnmower. And bought another one, a new one, and I would have had a happier summer because, believe me, I was pissed most of the summer. Like, can't believe I have to, you know. I'm sure Michelle heard about it. It was 20 years ago. But anyway, here's the thing. Like, that's what Jesus was saying there, and so that's true. A thing that's happened here at Action Church over the years, people always ask, I shouldn't say always, but people will come and go, hey, I got this need. Can I borrow some money from the church? And this is not me talking about my generosity because it's not me loaning my money. It's your money or our money. We both give. So here's the deal. Like, I always go, no, we'd never loan money. If it's something that's really a need and we can do it, you know, a lot of times we've said, yes, you can just have the money. But here's the interesting thing, and not always, but a lot of times people go, hey, I know you're saying I can just keep it, but I'm paying it back. And to my knowledge, that's never happened. Now, here's the deal. Because we gave it, it's cool. Like, okay, I wasn't expecting it back. And so that's fine. But if we were really loaning money out, number one, I should not be in charge of a savings and loan because I'd be terrible at it. We didn't get any of it back. So what Jesus is saying is correct. Like, if you really want to be rewarded, Jesus would say, so just don't keep score. And I don't know if Jesus would be hired as the president of a savings and loan somewhere. I don't know if that would work. It's probably not a good policy for the savings and loan. But Jesus is saying in life, if you really want to be someone different than what Jesus would say is, so just don't get repaid. That's fine. Just let them off the hook. So the question is that we have to ask ourselves, and this is our question, is, okay, I'm expecting, or I tend to expect these things. What am I owed really? And the really is the tough part, because we are owed certain things. And then what Jesus would say is, well, you could choose to let them off the hook and not collect. Like, that's possible, and you'd probably be happier and you'd be rewarded. That's a good thing. But here's the problem, is a lot of times you and I, and as Americans we are so guilty of this, we go through life thinking we're owed things that we're not. And you might have heard this word called entitlement. That's what it means. You know, it's like, and you know this if you have little kids that get a little spoiled. Like, entitled kids, kids who think they're owed everything instead of are grateful, like, those, we call them spoiled, right? Because they stink. Like, that's a bad thing to have. And so when we go, and this is why we have to be really, really careful about this, and this is why it will spoil your happiness, because it's just sort of the ugliest version of ingratitude. And it's like, so you just, you know, like, you don't want to be around that kid who thinks that their parents owe them everything and they're not grateful at all. And there's no please or thank you. There's just give me, give me, give me. And you know what? You don't want to be around a 54-year-old like that. It's ugly. It's ugly. And if I said last week, and I think this is true, like, you know, expectations sort of round down our happiness, like they tamp down our happiness. Well, If that's true, then entitlement, that's like multiplying them by your happiness by a negative number. Like, it never, ever comes out positive, ever. Like, if you think you're owed something you're not, like, if you get it, you're a jerk because you're like, well, of course, that's what you owe me. And so we appear and we are ungrateful and unthankful and we're just ugly. And if you don't get it, you're literally whining about not getting something that you shouldn't have got. And it's just a mess. And you will never, ever be happy in those situations. And it's like all of us struggle with it. I struggle with it. You know, you go, you know, and we use that language even. You go, well, they owe me an apology. Really? Like, did you have a contract with them? Like, oh, you owe me, or they owe me their respect. Really? Oh, you know, and so even our language, I think, sort of portrays that we are certain we are owed things. And we go, well, that's my right. Well, is it? Were you guaranteed that right? But, you know, so I want to do like, and me talking about it, I realize like sort of old white guy on the porch yelling, you know, entitled kids, get off my lawn. I don't want to do that. I've already done that, but that's just me. But I want to read what Jesus says, sort of taking on entitlement, because I think this is so smart. And one thing about Jesus is Jesus can tell a story that's like, you know, it's not tweetable, but it's a decent Facebook post. And not only does it make an amazing point, but don't overlook the fact it still makes an amazing point, you know? Like even things like someone like Socrates will say things, if you read, you know, something like that, and you go, this was the most wise thing of the time, and it doesn't completely apply now because things have changed so much. But somehow Jesus, this uneducated carpenter dude, manages to tell these stories that still make sense. So I just want to read this. This is from Matthew. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard." So that's easily understandable. He's literally going down to get day laborers. He's going to the, you know, to Labor Ready, or he's going to Home Depot, or he's going somewhere where people gather that you go, hey, come on, let's go work. I'm hiring you now. And he said he agreed to pay all of them the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. So we can understand that too. Very simple, like just like today, there's a going rate. Like if you go, hey, I'll pay you a shiny nickel, you know, like they're not going to do it. Whatever that amount is that people will work for a day, that was customary. They all jumped in, and they're like, yeah, let's go. He said at 9 o'clock in the morning, so that was early in the morning, at 9 o'clock, they probably were like my dad who called, you know, he said we worked 12 hours. He called that a half day. So that's basically, it looks like they're working 12 hours. And it says at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace, excuse me, and he saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them too. He's like, come on, let's go work. You guys aren't working today? So he hired them, telling them he would pay whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard, and at noon and at 3 o'clock again, he did the same thing. So you notice the first people had a full day's work, and he told them, hey, you know, I don't know how much they got paid per day back then, but the coin, whatever it was, like one denarius, that's what we, yeah, you know, one Chuck E. Cheese buck, whatever it was, like we have a day rate. And they all agreed to it, and they got in his pickup, and they went to work, and then he went back at 9, and then he went back at 12, and he's still people standing around. He's like, well, you come work too. I've got plenty of work. But notice he didn't promise them a day's wages. He just said, let's, you know, I'll settle up at the end of the day. And think about it. The only reason you would do that is because you were so grateful to have work that day. You're like, oh, I've been standing out here all morning. These were people looking for work, standing there all day going, I need, you know, and I need to feed my family. So they were just grateful for the work. And then at 5 o'clock that afternoon, so literally he goes at noon, he goes at 3, he goes at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 5 o'clock, he's like, there's still people out here who aren't working. He's like, jump in the pickup, let's go work at the vineyard. And they all agreed. Now, here's the twist. And Jesus is like, it still works. Like, it's still human nature. And it's still sort of, if you have a business, it's labor relations. This is the way it works. It says, that evening, he told the foreman to call the workers and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. And when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wages. And when those hired first came to get their pay, what does it say? It says they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. And when they received their pay, they protested to the owner, those people worked only an hour. There's income inequality here, Jesus, landowner. And yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. I mean, think about that. Like, if you want to talk wage inequality, like if, you know, let's say they got paid $15 an hour. That was the going rate. Like the people that worked 12 hours got paid the same as one. So it's like, it's the difference between $15 an hour, like $150 an hour. You know, it's like they got paid a lot more at the end of the day. And relatively, they're like, God, if he's willing to pay, you know, that much money, you know, if he's gonna pay them that much money just for an hour, think about how much I'm going to be making. And the people worked only 1 hour, and you paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat. He's like, they didn't even come in the hot part of the day. And he answered one of them, and he said, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. And so, like, on just sort of the labor relations thing, he's right. Like, the people who got hired last thought they had been overlooked, but they made the most per hour and worked the least. And those who were excited because they got picked first, he's like, oh, man, we're the guys who are working, and we were picked by the landowner. They're like, oh, we only made a regular day's wage. You know, they would have rather been later in the day. It was a better deal. But I want you to notice what he said. And this is not me saying it, or not, you know, the government saying it, or not some politician saying what Jesus said, and it's just true. His friend, I haven't been unfair. He said, that's not unfair because, he said, is it against the law for me to do with what I want with my money? Like, we had an agreement, and I chose to give that guy more. Like, how is that unfair to you? And then he says these words, which still kind of stick with me, I think. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? That's a difficult thing to deal with because it messes with our human nature, doesn't it? Right? Because all of us would say, like, I'm happy with the piece of pie that I have until my mom gives a bigger one to my brother. You know? Like, my mom would do this thing, and it's pretty brilliant, and I know she got it from somebody else, but, you know, if you had to break something in half, like, because we would get in a fist fight over a cookie at my house. Still will. That's just the way it is. I win. No, not really. I'm losing lately. Reagan's killing me. But anyway, here's the thing. Like, she would say, you know, like, somebody gets to break it in half and somebody gets to choose which side. You know, and it's like, oh, I better make this as close as I can. You know, so it's like, that's really human nature. Whether you're 4 or you're 44, it's like, you can be pretty happy with your lot in life until it seems like somebody else is getting a better deal. But what Jesus said is, should you be jealous just because I'm being kind to someone else? That landowner, he never, ever promised them a full day, and he didn't promise the people who worked all day more. He was absolutely fair. But what Jesus was trying to point out is something that you and I are going to struggle with as long as we're human. Is that what others receive affects how we feel about what we have. Right? I mean, that's a real thing. That's why a lot of companies actually will tell you, like, don't discuss, you know, your benefits package or your pay package. They don't like when you discuss it, because as soon as people start discussing it, oh, there are problems. We find out another division makes more, or I've been here longer, I have more seniority, or how come they got hired at the higher, and it works all over. And so what we have to ask ourselves, and I want the band to come back up here, and I'm excited to hear another song from them, is first of all, when we feel that sort of ungrateful feeling, and you can tell because it feels bad. It feels like, ugh, I am not happy, even though I guess I should be. Even though other people in this situation would be happy. Like last week it was, you know, I'm a princess now, and I am unhappy, even though probably every little girl who watched Cinderella growing up would like to trade places with me, but they don't know, on the other hand, how difficult this is. So am I hoping? I keep using the thumb. That's the head. I'm sorry. Am I hoping? Or am I expecting? Because, ooh, that's going to go badly. And then the next question, if we are expecting, because, man, that happens. Like, you're not going to be able to go through life and never have an expectation. And that's okay, because you should expect some things, but then what am I owed, really? Because that affects our happiness and it affects our lives. And that's why Jesus would talk about it. And it's funny because he wasn't using it to talk about labor relations or, you know, payment scales at corporations, which were all true. He was actually talking, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Because you know what? Even as Christians, we get like that. We go, how come that guy gets forgiven late in his, you know, we all talk about that. Like, you know, he hasn't been around here this whole time. I have. And all of a sudden at the last minute, you know, he says a prayer and he's a Christian now and he's forgiven of all the things. I saw what he, you know, and that was happening back then and it still happens today. And we feel like, but I've been here this whole time doing the right thing. How come? And that is what Jesus is talking about. What am I owed really? And so I want to pray with you. And then next week, we're going to have to kind of dig a little deeper because the problem is we live in a world where we kind of do know what everyone makes, right? Because we're all, you know, because of, you know, communication and social media, like we all sort of look around and go, yeah, but what about that guy? And so I just want to pray for you, and I hope you'll play along with our, I was going to say reindeer games, but our hand turkey games this month. Because I really feel like if we could find a way, at least that's what, I trust the Bible, but if you just want to trust Harvard Medical School, you could live a better life if we could figure out how to deal with this ugly ingratitude that creeps into our life. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, God, thank you for your instruction. It's just sort of incredible that the stories that you told so many thousands of years ago, they still apply to us because we're humans. But God, that also reminds me that we're not really progressing like we think we are, that we're still the same in so many ways in our nature. God, I pray that you would work on my ungrateful heart and that you would work on each of us here at Action Church, everyone who's come in today, and help us to live more grateful lives and to understand like what we're actually owed and what we are not. And God, from that, to be more enjoyable to be around and just enjoy life so much more. God, I pray to be with every person here today and just help them in their struggles and their fears. In your name we pray. Amen.